Okay, welcome everybody to our special 9 days learning program at the Ohel Sara. Our main group, we are learning always Leiluyish Bas Sara Yuta, Alaha HaShalom, Bas Ephraim Menachem Mendel, Vedina Sheyichyu. Also, of course, is a Refuah Shalem Bekar, a complete healing for Chaya Rezel, Bas Dina Besov Sha'ar Cholei Yisrael. We should continue to see Yeshua's Reserves Tovus, Refuah Shalem for all Cholim in Kla Yisrael. Okay, so today's Shir is called Tisha B'Av, Repairing the Divide. Repairing the Divide. There's something wrong. That's a part that needs to be put back together. And until we put it back together, Yerushalayim, Har Tzion, Shoshamim, Shu'alim, Hilchubo. Something's wrong. In November 2014, attorney Richard H. Bernstein, a Jewish attorney, was elected to the Michigan Supreme Court in a heated statewide race. He ran against a Republican challenger. The Republican challenger outspent him in the campaign 8-1. Attorney Richard H. Bernstein won the campaign. A victory in such a race was a big feat for anyone against such amazing odds. However, The Detroit native made history by becoming Michigan's first blind justice. Is this okay? Or should we move it closer?
No, it's too
thank you. He became Michigan's first blind justice. He suffers from retinitis pigmentosa, an inherited disorder, and he has been blind since birth. However, he won the state race. Despite his disability, he demonstrates to us there is nothing with people who have some sort of special need cannot do. He has run 18 marathons, including 2 triathlons. An average day in his life is a reminder that we can all overcome the nisyonos that the Almighty gives us. I literally work, he says, about 15 hours every single day. Much of his time is dedicated to what he calls intensification of memorization. How is he supposed to remember all the information for his trials? He has to intensely remember everything that is brought before him. I have to memorize and internalize every case, says Justice Bernstein. I have to know them incredibly well. My colleagues can read notes on the bench. I have to know the cases called an unstoppable force of nature. Justice Bernstein has traveled throughout the United States. He travels throughout the world, Ecuador, Australia, Brazil, Israel, to give inspirational speeches for others. He speaks for the Lions Club. He speaks for Shabbat across America. He's been on some talk show, I don't know what it is, TED Talk, the source of your strength. In 2010, he came to Israel through one Israel fan, and he met with victims of terror. And he demonstrated to them how they can live, how they can persevere, how they can take their newfound disability as a result of terror attacks, and they can go on. In 2011, he participated in the triathlon in Israel, in Eilat. And then he says, I feel like this isn't good enough. It's okay?
Yes.
Do I need to move?
No.
Okay. He speaks of Israel and Israelis with the same boisterous enthusiasm that he speaks about law. I love Israel. I love Israelis, he says twice before continuing. Quote, in Israel, I can ride the bus. I can go anywhere and everywhere on my own. I know I will be okay. For example, when I go to the central bus station in Jerusalem, I can't walk more than 5 feet before someone comes over to me and says, can I help you? Where are you going? Can I assist you? Then they take me to wherever I tell them I have to go, and they ensure there's someone on the bus who's going to my stop, who will be with me until I need to get off. With acute amazement and sincere gratitude in his voice, Bernstein says, Israelis form a committee so that they make sure they help me in finding my destination. It's the one country in the world I can go anywhere. I can do anything. I will be completely independent. People are always going to help me there. There's never even a question. It is truly remarkable, says Justice Bernstein. You have to excuse me for 1 second. I gotta get rid of this. All right. One country in the world, I'm never lost. Can't walk 5 feet in the central bus station without someone saying, do you need a hand? Here are the stairs. Where are you going? They'll watch you on the bus. Ahav Talarecha Kamocha, says the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, you shall truly love your fellow as you love yourself. Re'acha Shoresh Ra. Even when you perceive he does something negative to you, it doesn't say Ahav Talarecha Kamocha. The Chaver, this is a Chabura of people learning. You cling together. A Yedid is an intimate beloved. Re'acha. Someone's different than you. You perceive them to be negative in some sort of fashion. You perceive there's some Ra, but he's a Jew. Of course, Rashi famously quotes Rabbi Akiva. Zeh klal gadol b'Torah. This is the foundation of Torah. So here we are. A few days away from Tisha B'Av. Mitnash Risha Mipnei Macharav. Gemara asks, in Yom HaNaibi, why was the first temple destroyed? You all know the answer. Mipnei, I'm going to tell you anyway. Mipnei Gimel Dvarim Shahayiba. Mipnei Shalosh Dvarim Shahayiba. They had three problems in the time of Bais Rishon, before the Babylonians came and destroyed the temple. Avodah Zarah, they were Osek and Rachmana Litzlan, idol worship. Gilu Arayos. There were many ansanua, inappropriate, promiscuous aspects going on in society. B'shvichus damim. There was bloodshed. So it's very bad. So you're all sick in the 3 Yarov Val Yavor. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, so you don't deserve the Mikdash. So he sends Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, and the Vuzarad, and the chief butcher, and they destroy the temple. But continues the Gemara of our Mikdash Sheni. Now you all know it was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. But before the Gemara tells me about Sinas Chinam, it tells me something else. And I'm going to quote the Lashon of the Gemara. Of Amikdash Sheni, in the time of the Second Temple, Shahayu Oskin B'Torah. Did you hear what I said? They learned Gishmak Torah. Isaac in Torah. That's a bad thing. Continues the Gemara. Uba Mitzvos. They did Mitzvos. Uba Gemilus Chasadim. They did a lot of chesed. Vipnei macharav, so the Gemara wonders in astonishment, so it sounds like a geshmak from an erlach yidden place to live. You don't want to live there? In a place that's oisek in Torah? In a place that's full of mitzvahs? In a place that's full of gemilas chasadim? You don't want to live in such a place? Vipnei macharav. So the Gemara says, so why was such a place destroyed? Now here comes the part you all know. Vipnei shahaisabos in aschinam. Because why? Rav Reitzel says, what's in Eschinim? I don't like you, says Rav Reitzel Zatzal. You don't like me, but I did something wrong? You're just different than me. So I just don't like you. L'lamdecha, to teach you sheshkulas in Eschinim, keneged shalosh aveiros. To teach you if the first one is destroyed because of the 3 cardinal sins, we may never transgress. Yarov al yavar, better you should give up your life than worship Avodah Zarah. If that was destroyed because of those 3, and this was destroyed because of sin is chin, and because I just don't like you, because we're a little bit different. Shashkula, sin is chin, and connected shalosh aveiros. Baseless hatred is equal in intensity to the 3 yarov val yavors of avodah zarah, gilui arayos, v'shvichus damim. Because of kamtza and bar kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed. I know we all know it as a story. Chazal feel it's very important in Masachas Gittin to teach us the story. What happened? It happened this way. A certain man, by the way, it's fascinating to point out who is named Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Who's not named? The host. The host. The whole thing was his fault. Ahu Gavra, the Gemara calls him. Ahu Gavra, tell me the guy's name. Kamtza was the friend. He didn't do anything. He wasn't ever even invited. Bar Kamtza, Nebuch the poor man's a social outcast. He's the enemy. Ahu Gavra. Everyone says because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Wasn't it destroyed because of that man? Shouldn't I know his name? So bear with me. We're going to come back. We're going to answer. So let's talk about the story. A certain man had a friend named Kamtza and an enemy named Bar Kamtza. He made a nice party. And he sent a messenger, he sent a servant, go invite my friend Kamtza to come to the party. So there was a little bit of confusion. You can't, you know, you're on the way and you recheck your tax to make sure you have the right address, the right name, the right street, the right phone number. So he can't recheck. So he invites the wrong man to the party. So who shows up? Poor Bar Kamsa. He's sitting at the party. Maybe he thinks that this enemy wants to make sinas chinam and wants to make a havas chinam. Maybe they're on the path to reconciliation. And the host, out of the whole crowd, who does he spot? His enemy. So he goes over to the enemy and he says, "You're my enemy. What are you doing here?" So he says, "Please, since I'm already here, I will pay you for my water. I will pay you for my food. I will pay for my drink. Please don't kick me out. Let me stay." Said the host, "Hahu Gavra, absolutely not. I'll pay for half the cost of the party. Don't embarrass me." It is your territory to be thrown into the kipshan ha'esh, we learn from Tamar, voracious, than to embarrass somebody else. "Please, I'll pay you for half the party." "Absolutely not, get out. I will pay for the entire su'uda. Everybody here, I'll cover the cost." Said that man, "Absolutely not, get out." And they threw him out. Said Bar Kamsa, "Shtika kahoda'a." Silence is acquiescence. Since the rabbis were sitting at the dais and they did not stop the host, it must be silence is acquiescence. It must be they agree with what he did. So everybody agrees that I should have been humiliated and embarrassed and I was just thrown out. I'm going to inform the government. I'm going to tell the emperor. They're rebelling against him. He went to the emperor. And he said to the emperor, "The Jews are rebelling against you." Said the emperor, "How do I know that this is true?" Bar Kamsa said, "Send them an offering up to the temple and let's see if they accept the offering." The emperor agreed. Along the way, Bar Kamsa made a blemish in the animal. A blemished animal may not be offered as a korban on the Mizbeach. Some say on the upper lip. Some say it was in a certain place in his eye. Well, it's a blemished animal, so now we can't offer it. So it must be that the Jews are rebelling against the emperor. The rabbis wanted to offer it. But Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkula said, people will say it's okay to bring a blemished animal on the offering. We can't do that. So they wanted to kill Bar Kamsa to put an end to what was going on here. But then they said, someone who brings a blemished animal, is he Chayav Misa? Does he deserve death because he brought us a blemished animal? So they did nothing. Rabbi Yochanan remarked, because of Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulas, because of his mappingness, our house has been destroyed, our temple has been burnt, we have been exiled from our land. Why do we care about a story in Maseches Gittin that happened 2,000 years ago? Do I know Kamsa and Bar Kamsa? I don't even know the name of the man. I don't know the rabbis who were sitting there. I don't know what they were serving. Who cares? Maybe it's not a story of 2,000 years ago. Maybe Kamsa and Bar Kamsa is a story of today. Maybe that man can be all of us. And maybe that's why Chazal don't name him. Because perhaps within each and every one of us is the negativity that can exclude somebody else. Perhaps within each every one of us is Hahu Gavra. The meanness of a person to so shame another Jew. Perhaps Bar Kamsa and Kamsa is not a story of antiquity, but it's a story of 5776. And that's why, because of them, Jerusalem was destroyed. Kaldar Shalom Bana B'Yamav. Sages say in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Maseches Yoma, every generation that does not rebuild, Ki Ilu Nechrav B'Yamav. So who destroyed it? All of us. I'm sorry. But I'm not telling us this. The sages are telling us this. If I'm still mourning, if I'm coming to Tisha B'Av, I'm going to have to sit on the floor for Eicha. If I can't have meat and I can't have wine, if I can't have music and I can't wash my clothing, then our generation is as responsible as Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. You think it's their fault? We're so focused on their sins. Maybe it's my fault. What has happened to our Havas Chinam, the antidote to Sinas Chinam? What has happened to V'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha? L'Re'acha, nothing in the Torah is an accident. Hashem screaming at us. Even if you view him as Ra, you have to love him. I know he's not your chaver, the one who sticks by you, chibur. I know he's not your yadid. But you still have to love him. How could I love another Jew that's Ra? Well, God says there's a mitzvah in the Torah. What has happened to our feeling, the pain, the concern, the caring for another Jew? Are we able to lead a blind man around the central bus station? Are we able to lead a proverbial blind man around the maze of life with care and compassion? What has happened? Hey, Reidanis Kol Adam Lekaf Schus. We have to give every person the benefit of the doubt, because Al Tadin Es Chavercha Acha Tagilim Kono. We're so busy thinking about what other people are doing, but the sages say, don't judge them till you get to their face. Why do they say Acha Tagilim Kono? They should just say Al Tadin Es Chavercha. Period. Acha Tagilim Kono. Why? Because you're never going to be in his place. No matter how similar the nisyonos seem, no matter how similar the situation seems, I have this, he has this, it looks the same. Something's different. Therefore, never judge your friend. Rav Elimelech Biderman tells over the following story. One second. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiya B'Dvaro.
Amen.
Rav Elimelech Biderman tells over the following story. Two friends, Reuven and Shimon, heard they won the lottery. It's going for a big amount. Sometimes we have that, an enormous sum. They're each going to buy a ticket. And what are they going to do? Whoever wins will give half. If Reuven wins, he'll keep half and he'll give Shimon half. If Shimon wins, he's going to keep half and give Reuven half. Good arrangement. Nobody thinks they're really going to win. Lo and behold, the way the numbers are drawn, Shimon looks in the paper. He won. It's his winning numbers. No, I said it wrong. Not trying to ruin the story. Shimon looks in the paper and Reuven is a multimillionaire. Okay. Shimon's ticket did not win. Reuven's ticket did win. What does Reuven have to do now? Give half to Shimon. Shimon, knowing human nature, feared Reuven is not going to hold up to his end of the deal, so he came up with a perfect solution. He turned the tables, and he ran to Reuven's house, and he said, there's good news. I won the lottery. Reuven, how do you know? Shimon, I just read it in the paper. My ticket is the winning paper. Reuven, terrific. Now remember your promise. You're going to give me half the winnings. Shimon, I changed my mind. I'll give you something because I don't want to go totally back on my word and we're good friends, but don't expect so much. What do you mean? Reuven hollered. A deal is a deal. You promised me half. Do you think I'm crazy? Said Shimon. I'm going to give away millions of dollars for my children and my grandchildren, Yerusha. Reuven says, Hayotze mi piv ta'asa, says the Parsha. Parsha's Matos. Whatever comes out of your mouth, this wasn't Parsha's Matos, by the way. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you have to do it. You said you're going to give me half. You can't go back on your agreement. Shimon replies, I can, and I will. They battled it out, and finally Reuven comes up with an idea. Let's go get Das Torah. Who are they going to go to? The Rav. Well, ask the Rav, what should we do with this matzav? We made an agreement. So the pair of former friends, and note the word former, now went to the Rav, and they say to the Rav, we bought lottery tickets, and we made a deal. Whoever wins is going to give the other person half the earnings. Very good, says the Rav. What's the problem? Well, says Reuven, Shimon won. He's supposed to give me half. He went back on his word, and now he's saying he's only giving me a few dollars to keep me quiet. Isn't that forbidden? Isn't he obligated to keep his word? You should give me half. The Rav looked at Shimon and he says, what do you have to say to yourself? You're going back on your word. Don't you think you should give him half? Shimon looked at the Rav and he says, you're right. I totally agree. Why? A deal is a deal, and therefore the real winning ticket is Reuven's. Now he should give me half, according to your psak. Reuven's face starts to turn colors, shock, embarrassment, rage, as he realized what his friend has done to him. Reuven's ticket won. Shimon has the audacity to ask for half. I won't give you anything, Reuven hollered. I'm backing out of the deal. I never signed a contract. I'm allowed to back out. Rabbi, isn't that correct? Suddenly, says Rav Biederman, Reuven sees everything differently. When he was set to lose, he was livid that the other guy's backing out of the contract. When he won, and the other guy's a loser, all of a sudden, it's not so bad. Rav Biederman says, lest we laugh at Reuven, we should not. Because, quote, we are all the same. Rav Biederman says, people only see their side of the story. I know I'm right. I know what I need. I know how I feel. You, it's not my problem. We are blind, says Rav Biederman, quote, to the other person's point of view. One can even end up contradicting himself all of a sudden when necessity calls for it. We have to wonder, if the host who embarrassed Bar Kamtza was the guest, and Bar Kamtza was the host, how would the host have felt then? If he was on the receiving end, sitting at the table, in a room full of however many people there were, would he have seen the other point a little bit better? Would he have been more willing to compromise? Would he have been a little bit more understanding? And that's why he's not named. Because Ahu Gavra is Reuven or Shimon. Ahu Gavra sometimes is me, I don't want to say you. Sometimes it's somebody else. If we are Osik in Ahavas Chinam, we will be Osik in Shalom. And we are Ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. But if we transgress the great principle of the Torah, it inevitably leads to Sinas Chinam. And because of this, the Beis HaMikdash not was destroyed, remains destroyed in each and every generation. Ahu Gavra, that man. Well, maybe each one of us needs to ask ourselves, am I that man? Hopefully the answer is no. But sometimes maybe yes. We should not laugh at him. We should not deride him. We should not scorn him. For ultimately, sometimes, each one of us may be in such a position. Because certainly, after so many years of exile, so many years, it's not just the exile, it's the sorrows that come along with this bitter, painful exile, we are compelled to wonder. So if Sin is Chinim destroyed the Beis HaMikdash as we're understanding, Sin is Chinim stems from what? Negative feeling. Right? You don't just act and start screaming at someone and throw them out of the party. First, you emotionally, psychologically, don't like somebody. So maybe we should ask ourselves, are we required to repent from sins of thought, not only sins of action? Sins of action include Lashon Hara, right? You spoke not nicely to somebody else. Rushing through Birkas HaMazon. Not shaking Lulav and Esrog one day because you got to get on a trip with your kids, so you just didn't have time, so today I forgot. There are sins of action and there are sins of thought. There are Chovos HaEvarim, says Rav Salavitchuk. He differentiates and he connects Chovos HaEvarim and Chovos HaLevavos. What's the connection between chovos ha'ivarim and chovos ha'levavos? Obligation of the limb and obligation of the heart? Just as we are required to repent from chovos ha'ivarim, from sins that involve physical error, so too we must repent from chovos ha'levavos. Sins of thought, of the heart, of negativity, of throwing out another yid from the party, of not helping the blind man, of not rushing to assist, of seeing the re'acha as ra, and not a person who's worthy of love. The Rambam teaches, great Rambam, in Hilchos Teshuva, we should not say Teshuva only applies to sin of action, such as illicit relationship, such as theft. Those are sins of action. Person was unsinu with their body. Interesting. The first Beis HaMikdash didn't occur to me before. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of sins of action. Chovos ha'evarim were transgressed. And the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because chovos ha'levavos were transgressed. Do you understand? So it clearly teaches us right then and there that we are obligated with duty of the limb and duty of the heart, and we are not patur, we are not exempt from either. The Rambam teaches, just as a person needs to repent from sins of action, so too he needs to probe his bad character traits, his deos ra'os, to repent. Anger, hatred, envy, kina, frivolity, the pursuit of wealth and honor, the pursuit of foods and the like. And now the Rambam says something that we all know, and I believe we all know. For me personally, I struggle with this in my Avodas Hashem. These sins are more difficult to repent from than sins of action. It's easier to shake lulav and esrog every day than to make sure my chovos halavavos are always in the right place. It's easier for me to be a tzanua person than to always be a patient person. It's easier to make a bracha all the time than to always be kind. But the Beis HaMikdash, the first one was destroyed because we transgressed chovos ha'evarim, and the second one was transgressed because we transgressed. The second one was destroyed because we transgressed chovos ha'levavos. So from here the Gemara learns shekula, they're equal. What's equal? Not only the sins, but chovos ha'evarim are equal to chovos ha'levavos. These sins are more difficult, says the Rambam, because when a person becomes immersed in deos ra'os, in negativity, in emotion, in hatred, it's very hard to repent. Why did I say for me personally? I'll tell you, Marsha, personal MS. In my Avodas Hashem, it's hard. I feel like I'm at those meetings where you say, my name is Micha Haaretz, and this is what's hard for me. I don't know how to change my emotion. Because a human being has a Yetzer Hara. So you read the stories of the Gedolim, Rav Pam. Patient, never in all of years of chinuch, Zeicha Tzadik Levracha, did he become angry at a Talmud. Rav Moshe, they asked him, Zeicha Tzadik Levracha, about his calm disposition. He says, you think I was always like this? I worked on my entire life to be like this. Salvechik Zatzal says, I used to be a jealous person. I worked on myself. I'm not jealous anymore. But they don't tell us how. They tell us the end result. Those are the gedolim. So for me, for myself, I say, I give you an eight. I don't, maybe you can't relate, I don't know. But I have to repent from chovos ha'levavos. Not from chovos, from transgressing chovos ha'levavos. I can't ignore that aspect of my Avodas Hashem, because if I ignore the aspect of chovos ha'levavos, it inevitably leads to transgressing chovos ha'evarim. If I feel bitter inside, I'm going to talk Lashon Hara. If I feel bitter inside, I'm not going to daven. If I feel bitter inside, I don't have time for halal today. If I transgress chovos ha'levavos, I end up with sinas chinam. From hatred comes Kamsa and Barkamsa. The Rambam says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein considered anger a very bad character trait. All of these negative midos leads to sinus. Chinam leads to Hartzion Shashamim Shu Alim Hilchubo. I've spoken about it before so many times. Go up to the top of the Churva Shul, the rebuilt Churva, and the Ir Atika, take a tour and stand around the ledge. Look down right onto Har Habayis. Shualim Hilchu Bo, Yirmiyahu wrote this 18 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, and they're still walking there. The foxes are still there. It's my fault. Because I didn't rebuild. So I destroyed. Anger. The Rambam considered anger a very bad character trait. Kas. When he formulated his mean, his golden mean, all midos who should be in the middle. You should never be too happy, you should never be too sad, you should never be too this, too that. Anger. Don't ever be in the middle. With kas, you should always be, says the Rambam, on the end of the spectrum, which is off the spectrum. Don't ever become angry. The Gemara tells us the one who becomes angry, it's as if he is Oved Avodah Zarah. Why, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, quote, anger is dehumanizing because it expresses a loss of self-control. You know, if you would have told Hahu Gavra, listen, 2,000 years later, they're still going to be talking about you. They're going to be blaming you for Churban Bayis Sheni. You think maybe you should let the guy stay at the party? Anger is dehumanizing, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. It expresses a loss of self-control. That's a quote. I'm sure if we would go back in time and ask him now, after all these years, could the man just stay here? What would he most likely have said in hindsight? Yes, but in a moment of anger, we lose rationality. Idolatry, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, is handing over control to something else. And that's why the Gemara says it's like your Oved Avodah Zarah. Hatred. Not only are we commanded to love another Jew, v'hafla recha kamocha, but there's a flip side of that. And what's the flip side? Otisna sechicha bilvavecha, also in Parshas Kedoshim. There's a positive and there's a negative. There's a ase and there's a lo tase. You should not, you must love your brother. You cannot hate your brother in your heart. Why? Why is hatred so bad? So as Aaron Lichtenstein says, you know why? Never mind the person you're angry at. If you are a person full of hatred, you have, quote, a poisoned personality, full of bitterness, a personality that is rotten to the core. Why is hatred so bad? Never mind the other guy. It says something about you. Not because of the impact upon the object of the hatred. Quote, hatred is a cancer which consumes one's moral and psychological self. If I'm so busy hating somebody else, I am destroying myself. And then I'm going to take others along with me. Hatred, anger, envy, kina, taiva, vakavad, motzin, esa adam, min ha'olam, sechazal, perge aros, perg dalad, mishna chof aruf. We tend to think they remove themselves from the next world, but our Aaron Lichtenstein says, one consumed by kina, taiva and kavod, jealousy, desire and honor, essentially removes himself from a fulfilling life in this world. Someone who is consumed with deos ra'os removes himself from this world as well. What's the antidote to all this? On Friday we had the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen ben Amram Halevi. Is it a mistake that Parshas Maasai tells us God told him, Vayal Aaron al Har Har, and Aaron went up to the mountain of Hor in the 40th year that the Jews left Egypt. On the 5th month, if you came from Nisan, you come to Av, on the 1st of the month. Is it an accident that Aaron, the man of Shalom, was commanded to go up to his death in which month? Our month of mourning. Why are we mourning? Because of baseless hatred. Who was Aaron a Kohen? Hillel reminds us to be of the students of Aaron, Ohev Shal, Verodev Shal, Ohev Sabriel, Sumakar, Velotoa. Be of his students means go to his school. When you come to the month of Av, and you remember on Rosh Chodesh that it's Aaron's Yahrzeit, don't just remember. Learn from the person that he was. Counteract the negativity of Chovos, Halavavos, to change it into a positive. It's heavy stuff. I have to tell you, I've said this over many times in these past 2.5 weeks. I've spoken in many different communities, from Shiva Sabra Tammuz through Tisha B'Av. They're hard shiur. They're hard for me to prepare. They're hard for me to give over, and I believe that they're hard to hear. If it's not hard for me now, when I'm supposed to be crying, when is it hard? Is it hard by Pesach? No, it's Yes Mitzrayim, it's Ayantav of Amunah. Is it hard by Chanukah? It's Gishmak, it's light. Vayudimaisa Ora. Purim. Chanukah is also our. Is it hard by Sukkot? Lechtach, Acharai, Bamidbar, Beretz, Loza, Ruah, Ahavas, Kulula, Sayach, Hasna, Kosh, Baruch, and Sukkot. We're getting remarried every year. Ahavas, Kulula, Sayach, like the Kala. If it's not hard now, when should it be hard? Last summer, my boys, they're in Machane HaKeitz again this year, they were in Machane HaKeitz last year, and the Rebbe was Rabbi Nachum Dinowitz. Excellent, excellent Rebbe. They also had him in Darche. And he sent home a story illustrating Sinas Chinev, which is really what we're speaking about today. We're trying to work past Sinas Chinev, of course. What's the mashal he gives to teach the boys about Sinas Chinev? Let's say a man goes to shul wearing a blue shirt because his white shirt got dirty. I amended the story and I wrote in brackets. Maybe he just likes a blue shirt. So he goes to shul in a blue shirt. Someone in shul makes fun of him for the blue shirt. He leaves. This is what Rabbi Dinowitz wrote. He doesn't daven tefillah b'tzibur because he's publicly humiliated. So I ask you, is kamtzim or kamtzim 2,000 years ago or today? I can't daven with your minion. Are you God? Get out. I'll stand in the back. I will daven for the amud. No. Can we compromise? It's very embarrassing. So he leaves, Rabbi Dinowitz writes, because he's publicly humiliated and from not davening tefillah b'tzibur because of the blue shirt. Does anyone say, I want to ask you, do we say on Yom Kippur, does anyone here clap al-chay for their blue shirt? It's a mashal. After a while, he stops davening at all. Rabbi Dinowitz told the boys, take this mashal. We're trying to build the Beis HaMikdash. We have so many bricks. The bricks are our mitzvos. Lots and lots of bricks. All the things we mentioned. We sit in the sukkah. Our women, our light Shabbos candles. I keep taras ha-mishpacha. I make a bracha before I eat. Fill in all the mitzvos. So why do we have the Beis HaMikdash? The same reason the Gemara in Yoma says they didn't have it. They were osek in Torah, mitzvos, and gemilas chasadim. We're missing, said Rabbi Dinowitz, cement. We have piles and piles of bricks. 2,000 years of bricks. But there's no cement to hold anything together. Cement is letting the man with the blue shirt stay in show where everybody else is wearing white. Rachman al-Litzan, that this is what we're talking about. God should save us. So if you think the story is far-fetched, Hashem arranges everything in an interesting fashion. A week or two after my boys brought home that on their paper from camp, my husband was in a certain shul in a certain community. Midrash Sheker Tirchak, this is a true story. Unfortunately, this is a very true story. He was in shul for Mincha Marv in a certain shul. And the rabbi asked a certain person to daven Marv. The gabbai said he can't daven, he's not wearing a jacket. Now whether he should have been called up or not, I'm not a rav, that's not the point. There's a minion there, more than a minion, waiting to start davening. And the man just said, he can't daven, he's not wearing a jacket. The man said, what? The Gabbai says, no jacket, no respect. The man becomes very insulted. The man is bar kamtza. Not really, you understand? And he started to leave the shul. The Gabbai says, fine, you're insulted, take the talis. He couldn't have gone over to him in the first place quietly and said, maybe just put on the talis. The man said no, and he walked out. He left the shul. As per Rabbi Dinowitz's made-up mashal, he did not daven tefillah b'tzibur, as per Rabbi Dinowitz's parable, because he was publicly humiliated for not wearing a jacket. I mamash could not believe it when my husband told me this story. It happened last summer. Because so often we forget the d'oraisa of love your fellow as you love yourself, because we're too busy being machmir on something while we transgress. Chovos halavavos for chovos ha'ivarim. I'm not a rabbi. Maybe he needs to put on a jacket. Is this the time to give him mussar? And it was in the summer. Tammuz and Av, the most difficult months of the year. Mikdash sheni b'pnei macharav. Shayu oskim b'torv and mitzvah sugamidas chasadim. M'pnei shahaisa bo sinas chinam. So I have to tell you, I followed up with Rabbi Dinowitz. And I said, you're not going to believe this. But this really happened. And he replied, I copied his email. Capital letters, 3 exclamation marks. How can we build the klal when we have forgotten the klal gadol b'torah? Chaim Shmulevitz says, Zatzal, the overwhelming attachment to Kavod HaBrios is due to the fact that we do not comprehend the towering stature of every human being. Were we to recognize the potential inherent in a mere mortal, we would run over ourselves to give them honor. Kavod HaBrios, the lack of Kavod HaBrios is because we think he's somehow less than me. Soloveitchik says the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash was not the walls, it was not the stones, it was not the vessels, it was not even the Aron Kodesh. The greatness of the Beis HaMikdash is that there were great people in the Beis HaMikdash. There was a Kohen Gadol, there was a Levi, there was a Kohen Hedrah, there were Tzadikim Gemurim who were going to be all the Regal. The greatness of the Beis HaMikdash was not the cement. The greatest was the people who held it together. And we mourn, says the Rav, because those people were destroyed with the Khorban. Every individual is a whole world. And if I lose the respect for that person, if I destroy one, I destroy Yerushalayim. And it's on us. I'm sorry. That is a true story. It's unfortunate, and I feel it's important to share because it's true. So now, Lamaisa, what should we do? Why do I say what should we do? We're in a bad world. It's a hard world. And it's a frightening world. And there's a lot of rishos. So a person thinks, can one person make a difference? Even if I change. Am I really going to bring the geula? With so much al, so much other shmut, so much other hatred going on. Could one person make a difference? So the Mishnah tells us, lo alacha hamlacha ligmar. It's true. You're not going to finish the job. Nevertheless, below Ata ben Chori, you are not permitted, you are not freely batal mimena. You're not pator. I don't know how to... You're not going to finish the work, but nevertheless, you're not freed of your responsibility. Okay? You can't say, I don't count. Everyone counts on both ends. And we all have an achrayus to reach out to one person. The power of one in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Not only the bricks, we have a lot of bricks. We're missing the cement. I want to tell you an unbelievable story about the power of one. There was a certain community in the 1950s in southern Israel that did not have a mikvah. So it bothered one of the people in the surrounding neighborhood, a certain moshav that did not have a mikvah. He took it upon himself. He's going to raise funds for the mikvah. So they advertise, and they broadcast, and they put up posters, and they hire a famous speaker from Central Israel. They're going to be misover their people, and they're going to build a mikvah. They're publishing all the posters, and the night of the event comes, and the speaker comes from Central Israel, and one couple comes to the evening of awareness. The speaker is very upset, and he says to the organizer, "I'm going home." The organizer says, "Listen, you came all this way. There's one couple. Talk to them. They're here. You're here. Give your shir." So he gives his shir about the importance of taharas and mishpacha, and in a very dejected mood, he goes home. That's the end of the event. The whole event. One man and one woman showed up. The next day, that man and woman went over to the organizer, and they said, "Listen, we're Holocaust survivors. We get reparations from Germany every month. We personally never wanted to take money. We put it into a bank account. We feel that they're paying us for what they did to our father, our mother, our brother, and our sister. We have a bank account with all this money. We never knew what we were going to do with it. We would like to give it to you. You will build your mikvah." And they gave them the money, and the mikvah was built. When we look around, it's a frightening world. One person can change the world. We should never underestimate. Hahu Gavra destroyed the world, but Hahu Gavra can rebuild the world. The Chafetz Chaim says in his Sefer Kuntros Chovos HaShmira, Klal HaDvarim, the summation of the matter is, B'diburav Shal Adam, with man's words, Yachol Livroa Olamos, you can build worlds, Ulahacha Rivan, and you can destroy worlds. With your obligation of the heart that translates into obligation of the limbs, you have a choice. We can all be Hahu Gavra who builds the world, or Rahman al-Atslan, Hahu Gavra who destroyed the world. Every person counts. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, and each act of Ahavas Chinim from one Jew to another can make the world of a difference. Someone sent me a great WhatsApp. You know, you get all these pictures on WhatsApp. It was a sign in a coffee shop in Israel. Cafe, 9 shek. Cafe Bevakasha, 8 shek. Boker Tov, Efshar Kos Cafe Bevakasha, 7 shek. I'm going to translate it for those who need translation. Coffee, I'm going to charge you $9. Can I have coffee, please? $8. Good morning, can I please have a cup of coffee? 7. I'm going to end with the following mashal, then we're going to give a nimshal, and then we're going to end. A poor person was watching the goings-on in the post office. Rabbi Biederman tells us over. He saw someone come into the post office. He gives the teller a few coins. The teller gives him a bag of gold. This guy is a poor person. A few coins, you could buy a bag of gold. The next day he goes back. Somebody gives the teller a few coins, and they give him a bag of diamonds. A bag of diamonds for a few coins? So the guy says, "I can scrape together a few coins. I'm going to go buy my bag of gold. I'm going to go buy my bag of diamonds." So the third day he goes in, he goes up to the teller, he puts down his paltry sum of a few coins, and he says, "I'd like to buy a bag of diamonds." The teller looks at him, he says, "Are you serious? Are you for real? How are you going to buy a bag of gold or diamonds with a few coins? You have 75 cents on the counter. You want something that costs $10,000? So he says, "But wait a minute, yesterday and the day before you gave those people the bag of gold and diamonds for 75 cents, why not me?" So the teller says, "Are you ridiculous? Those people paid for their purchase in full. The fee of a few coins is only to pick it up." Rabbi Biederman gives a nimshal related to Parnassa, but I'm going to give a different nimshal today. Perhaps we can propose the nimshal as follows. Every year in Tammuz and Av, we go to Hashem's counter, and we put down our coins. Our coins are our mitzvos. What did I do this year? I dressed, I benched, I said brachos, I said asher yatzar, it's not tefillas haderach, someone taught me that, so I stood in the right place. I overcame my yetzer hara, I was patient with my children. No, that's cement. Scratch that one. I did all the mitzvos, so I put down a few coins. Shmura matzah, I wrote, tkiya shofar, tefillah. I say, okay, I say to the teller with a capital T, I'm ready for the prize. What's the prize? The box of gold is the Beis HaMikdash. The grand prize. Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt. And the teller, capital T, looks over the counter and he says, are you serious? You expect to build the Beis HaMikdash for a few coins. You have to put down a down payment. Before you come to Chovos HaEvarim, you must be Osek in Chovos HaLevavos. You don't have the Ahavas Chinam. All you have are some bricks. But what's holding them together? And so another year passes, and we walk away empty-handed once again. We take back our few coins, and we walk home with our heads hanging down. We leave Tammuz and Av empty and bereft, without our home, because we just don't have the cement to build it. With our actions, we can build words. With our actions, we can build worlds. And with our actions, we can destroy worlds. And when we build up the people around us, when we become Hahu Gavra Litova, when we let the man without the jacket, do you hear what I am telling you? It sounds like I came from a different planet. When we let the man who's not wearing a jacket, maybe daven with a minion, Hashem will say, this year, you deserve it. I'm going to end by quoting Megillas Eicha. The end of Eicha is going to be the end of our shir. Zekeni misha'ar shavsu bachurim miniginasam. What is our mourning? Elders have ceased in the gate. The men have stopped their music. Shavas misosli beinu. There's no joy in our hearts. Nehapach le'eva mecholenu. Our songs have been turned to mourning. Nafla ataras roshenu, the crown has fallen from our head. Oy, na lanu kichatanu, woe unto us, we have sinned. Al zeh hayadav libenu, over this our heart pounds, over this our eyes have dimmed. Al hartzion shashamim shu'alim hilchu ba'o. Yirmiyahu tells us what's going to be 2,500 years later. Go up to the top of the churva, because the foxes are Rachman Litzlan walking there. Atah Hashem la'olam teishev kis achal adar v'adar. You Hashem are eternal. Your throne, the position of the teller, is forever. Lama lenetzach tishkachenu. Why do you eternally forget us? Ta'azvenu la'orach yamim. You leave us for so many days. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha bin Ashuva. If you bring us back, we're going to do it right next time. Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem. Restore our days as of old. Ki ima'os me'astanu, says Yirmiyahu. Kafatzta aleinu ad ma'od. Even if you have utterly rejected us, isn't it enough? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva chadesh yamein kekedem. May we be zocha to the Yeshua and the Bing and immediately and in our days. Amen v'amen.